A judicial nomination confirmation hearing involves an exploration of the nominee's judicial track record with the search for confirmation the nominee is capable of being fair, open-minded, and will adhere to protecting laws as well as the legal process. Unfortunately, Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh is in a way being denied that legal process and fairness when it comes to the allegations being made about him by Christine Blasey Ford. With us now to review the elements of the situation is a senior fellow with the Independent Women's Forum, who, along with being an attorney and former commissioner of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, is also someone who testified at the confirmation hearings of now Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts. Jennifer Braceros, how are you today, Jennifer?
I'm fine. How are you?
Thanks for being here. The website for Independent Women's Forum is IWF.org. I want to start off just with a mercifully short story, Jennifer, just to give a comparison, compare and contrast to what's going on here. I've been a student of the JFK assassination since grade school, and when I started doing the show, however many years ago it's been now, I was able to go further with authors and experts, investigators, even a member of organized crime at one point. And along the way, a book came to my attention by a woman who claimed that she was Lee Harvey Oswald's lover in New Orleans and followed him to Dallas. And I wanted to buy what she was selling desperately because it would open a whole new realm of exploration and interest in that event of history. But I insisted, send me the book, I'll read it, and we'll go from there. It was 600 of the worst pages I've ever read in my life. With nothing, knowing what I knew of the assassination, the players, the details, I could have just as easily written the book and inserted my name as Lee Harvey Oswald's lover. That's how absent of fact it was, so obviously I didn't buy what she was selling. Without facts, how can accusations have any merit?
Well, we're not going to have forensic evidence in this case. The only types of evidence that we're going to see is the testimony of people who were allegedly there. And that would be the testimony of Dr. Ford and of Brett Kavanaugh, and we'll have to assess the credibility of those people. And then the other people she names, Mark Judge, the fellow she called PJ, if they all come and testify, you know, we'll have an opportunity to judge their credibility, as will the senators. The problem, from my perspective, is that people who, as you say, desperately want to believe her story, are coming out and saying, believe women. We have to believe women. I believe Christine Ford. She's a credible, it's a credible allegation. How do they know it's a credible allegation? They don't know her. They haven't heard her testify. They know nothing about the situation, zero, unless they're a personal friend of hers or a personal friend of Brett Kavanaugh's. They know zero about the situation, and yet they're all coming forward and saying, I believe this woman. I mean, in your story, the analogy would be you going on air and saying, I believe the author of this book before you had read it.
Exactly, and there are some people who have been saying that, okay, I believe it, I was there, but then, let me find it real fast. Her name was Christina King Miranda, who was a classmate of
Ford. Yeah, but
Ford.
She was not there.
Yeah, she retracted and deleted her Facebook post, which was a long diatribe about supposed what she saw or heard secondhand, but then she deleted it. Someone took a screenshot of it, so it still exists. And it's just a matter of, I guess it's a passion of a cause that for some people they're becoming misguided with their passion.
Right. So what you're finding is people saying, I believe her because this sounds like something that could have happened, or it resembles something that happened in my high school. A drunken party, a boy pushing someone down, groping them, trying to have his way with her. I mean, of course that's a story that resonates with women across America, particularly those who grew up in the 80s. That's not surprising. But the fact that it sounds like something that could have happened or that did happen in many high schools does not mean that it happened to this person at the hands of Brett Kavanaugh. And so people are failing to make that critical leap.
You have someone, it's gotten to the degree now, someone wrote an article for The Atlantic saying how, I think that I'm paraphrasing the title, how I dealt with my Brett Kavanaugh, basically connecting the name with the action of rape now. That's how, to what degree this has become now.
Right. Right, and that's very, very sad. That is very, very sad because people will forever, you know, look at him a certain way regardless of the facts, which we haven't seen yet. I mean, my hope is that they both come and testify and all the witnesses come and testify and we have a clearer picture and you know, that he can disassociate himself from this claim. But I don't think that will necessarily happen, and here's why. I mean, I take that back. I think the hearing could happen that way. I don't necessarily think he'll ever be able to disassociate himself from the claim because look at Justice Thomas. Justice Thomas was wrongly accused, and yet a generation of people have been raised to think that Justice Thomas is a sexual harasser and a pervert and that Anita Hill is some sort of feminist heroine. And when you go back and look at the facts and the timeline of what she alleged, her story doesn't hold up. Anybody who knew Justice Thomas and knows Justice Thomas knows that it's wildly out of character. And, in fact, the weight of the evidence vastly favored him. And yet, you know, ask any high school kid or college kid, they'll tell you Justice Thomas is a harasser.
Yeah, I think for Justice Thomas as well as with Judge Kavanaugh, the entirety of whatever the view is never going to be erased. The best you hope is for, okay, can I win back a majority of the people for me? And anything mm-hmm. past that point is unrealistic. We're talking with Jennifer Braceros, who is a senior fellow with the Independent Women's Forum, attorney, former commissioner of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. She also testified during now Chief Justice John Roberts' confirmation hearings. Website for Independent Women's Forum is IWF.org. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I mean, as an attorney, you obviously want to look at facts, and you can't get more facts than the definition of a key word. In this case, I refer to the Webster's New World Dictionary allegation, which is defined as an assertion, especially one without proof or to be proved. What's it say in the world today when allegations, especially by the news media and certainly by political opponents, is now preached as fact?
Yeah, I find that very troubling because you have the combination of a charge that is very difficult to disprove, right? It's always difficult to prove a negative, particularly after so many years, when it's a he said, she said. So you have an allegation that's hard to disprove combined with the presumption now in our culture that all accusations are truthful and that anybody who comes forward has to be believed. And the mantra is, well, why would they come forward if it wasn't true? Why would they subject themselves to, you know, the ridicule, the embarrassment, the reliving of the trauma, all of those things, which I understand. I'm not saying, you know, there are victims out there, and it is difficult for them to come forward, very difficult. We certainly shouldn't start with the presumption that they're all lying either, but we should start with the presumption that, okay, a very serious charge has been made, and now let's assess the facts. They should be taken seriously, but not presumed automatically to be telling the truth by the mere fact that they made the charge.
Right. Facts are aids to an investigation. Facts on their own are not always gospel to a desired conclusion.
Right. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's very troubling. It's very troubling that we're supposed to presume somebody's telling the truth. And, you know, there are cases, high-profile cases, of people who came forward with allegations that were proved to be complete lies. The Duke LaCrosse case is the prime example.
Sure.
Written about in a really comprehensive, excellent book by Stuart Taylor called Until Proven Innocent. That was a fabricated claim, and lives were, I won't say ruined, but lives were damaged as a result of it. You have the case of the Rolling Stone article where a woman calling herself Jackie claimed she had been gang raped at a fraternity at UVA. That was exposed to all be lies. Now, I'm not saying that Christine Ford is lying. I'm not saying that she's telling the truth. I'm just saying we all need to remain open to the possibility that an accusation is just an accusation. It may be true, it may not be true.
And isn't it more beneficial for all parts concerned for Ford to testify, answer questions first, and then have that serve as a tool, as an asset to an investigation of whatever would follow after, as opposed to the Ford team's demand of let's have the investigation first, then she'll testify, because then you fall under the suspicion, well, she's just going to make her story fit the investigation then.
Well, I think the request for an investigation in this case is just clearly a delaying tactic on the part of Democrats and her lawyers. I don't think it has anything to do with necessarily what she would genuinely want. I don't know. But it is clearly a delay tactic because the Democrats have been opposed to this nomination from go. They've tried to delay the nomination from go. Every step of the way, they've tried to put up a roadblock to delay the hearings, to delay the votes, to delay everything until after the midterm elections. That's been their strategy all along. And this is just another weapon that they're using to do that. And in this case, it just doesn't even make sense because we already know who the players are. So an FBI investigation, all it would do is identify the people that the Senate would then call. It would identify, you know, these are the people who were at the party, or who she says were at the party. This is, you know, the house maybe where it took place. And then the senators would call the witnesses and ask questions about that. They can do that without an FBI investigation.
It's going to be interesting to see what follows, and it's hopefully we can get to a point where the judicial nomination process is not going to forever be polluted with politics as it appears to be right now. Again, that's a future hope, but for the here and now, this next week could be, well, if you're a political junkie, certainly worthy of watching, and could be a very telling about where we go as our tolerance for desiring the facts versus living off of innuendo is concerned as well. Want to learn more about this issue and various other issues of importance? That's one of the reasons why the Independent Women's Forum exists. They present ideas, insights that are educational all the time. IWF.org is their website. She is an attorney, former commissioner, U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. She also testified during now Chief Justice John Roberts' confirmation hearings. Jennifer Braceras, thanks so much for your insight today.
Thanks for having me.